shit.
Welcome along to Desert Whale Podcast, episode 003. As ever, I'm Greg.
I'm Richard.
And today we have...
Tommy.
Tommy.
Who is our little guest. Not just somebody that's coming off the street, an actual guest.
Well kind of. On today's podcast, we'll have a topic and a bit about our comic, which is mainly artists, which again is...
Tommy,
good. We have reading, watching, playing. We have a quick fire quiz, which is new this week.
It is.
See what you think of it and give us feedback. And we have a debate. Close it all off. Marvel against DC. Worst characters.
Which has the worst characters? Delicious little debate.
Delicious. It's pretty good. This week's quite a good show this week.
It is. So have a wee listen.
Let's go on, mate. Ding it out.
Okay, so this is the first part of our podcast this week. We're going to do a wee bit of talking about our comic and the art in comics. But first of all, let us introduce you, all you dear beautiful listeners, to our friend and our artist for our comic, The Plight. It's Tommy Cree.
Hi there.
Oh, so natural.
So very, very natural. As you can hear, he's ecstatic to be here with us.
I was going to be like, yeah, hello.
Okay, that's Greg. That's, but yeah, so we've got Tommy with us for this week. He's in all of the features and whatnot. We're going to talk to him a little bit about our comic, how he got into art in the first place, and just generally have a wee chit-chat just about all that.
Chin waggery.
That's the word.
Commence.
Aye, exactly. So... we'll start off just, I'll just ask you, Tommy, who are you? And how did you get into art in the first place?
I've always drawn, ever since I was young.
Continuously?
I did stop for a break.
It's in my head, I'm like, what?
But I'd always drawn when I was little. Through primary school, and I've always loved superheroes and the comics and stuff like that. But then I kind of stopped doing it. When I went to high school, put on the back burner, and
of course you weren't cool.
I think I was just more interested in getting into big boy stuff.
I thought you were going to say girls. But...
so that.
I think that girls, and later on,
right, big boy stuff like drinking beer,
and
smashing windows,
stuff like that.
Aye, right, there you go. Okay,
stuff like that. Right. Pretty much.
Oh well, right. Okay, so when did you get back into it then? What made you want it? What made you?
Well, I'd always kind of doodled and stuff like that, but I don't know. It was just a few years ago, and I just kind of thought that I needed a hobby and an outlet and something to do. And I kind of thought back and thought, well, I was always quite good at drawing. So I started to get back into it, and as it went on, I became a wee bit better because I was rubbish when I first started it back up. And then I got really into it, and it was all I would do all weekend. You know, I wouldn't go out on Saturday or Sunday because I wanted to be fresh for the day and drawing and stuff like that on the Saturday and the Sunday.
It's pretty committed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was just really enjoying it, and then it wasn't until I seen...
you spent all day just drawing?
Most of the day, yeah. I stopped for breaks for somebody to eat and play some computer games or something like that, but that would be pretty much it. And then Monday to Friday, it would be a couple hours minimum. Most nights.
It's commitment to the craft. So you say you started a few years ago then. It's was that around the time that we all sort of started to get to know each other when we started drawing for the plight?
It was probably about a year before that.
Right.
That I started getting back into it and kinda, I don't know, rigorously training for something. I wasn't sure what it was gonna be.
Right.
And then I saw the advert that you guys put on Gumtree.
Yeah.
I'd saw one previous to that about 6 months before, but I thought, there's no way. I'm actually ready to draw it.
That was probably ours as well.
It probably was ours. And we were sitting there for 6 months going, for fuck's sake. Right.
It took us a while.
Were you looking for specifically a comic book project, or were you just looking for an outlet in a more structured manner than just putting pencil to paper? Or pen and paper?
It was always going to be comics. It had to be a comics project, otherwise I wouldn't have went.
That's the thing, because you're saying that, like, you used to do all weekend and all night and that, and like train, if you like, but it must be quite difficult to train for something that you reckon what you're trying to do it for. That makes sense. You put that craft in and then hee-haw with it.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's like you need to find the inspiration to take it up to the next step. If you've got a talent, then... you know, you might as well share it, which is what you're doing now. So, So we, obviously we're really thankful for that, and we I think we were sitting there for almost probably 6 months waiting for a reply.
I got to the stage where we thought we'd just try it ourselves. Just try and draw ourselves, and then decided that we tried that, and everything we drew looked terrible.
Yeah, I think it might have been about 5 minutes each combined.
Yeah,
that we probably drew for, and
I love it was covered in big wallopers.
It was actually after a few pints. Aye, there you go. That's pretty cool.
But then I started actually drawing the comic, and that's when like I realised actually just how hard it was. And all I'd done before that was just like pictures, images, postery type things, and then I had to kind of apply that to panels on paper and backgrounds, foregrounds, designing characters, making them all look the same, or trying to make them look the same from panel to panel.
Aye, I was about to ask about that. Yeah, so like what we did when we all started, we all had a wee chat together. And for anybody that is listening that's got this desire to draw for comic books as well, I mean, hopefully this helps you guys. We sat down with Tommy and we gave you a couple of character bios. Did you find them helpful in the process of, yes, of trying to draw along? So, oh, good. Right, okay.
They were quite in depth, though.
They were really in depth. Yeah. So that's a really good point, actually. So from that perspective, as an artist, do you need one that's like 6 pages long or whatever? However long we made our one. Is it easier for you to have that one? Do you feel like you get to know a character, or is it easy enough just to have?
Well, it looks like essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose an image would be pretty helpful also. But reading the bio, it was kind of like getting to know the character, and you built the image up in your mind by getting bits and pieces of information as you're reading through them.
Aye.
Whereas if you kind of gave somebody a picture of it, I don't know. It certainly worked for me when you guys did
so
the
So do you need stuff like, was it a lot of overkill, or do you need like stuff like how he walks and...
You don't need stuff like that.
No. He was abused as a child and stuff like that.
Yeah,
unless it's part of his main kind of.
That's quite a grim character.
Unless he walks around all the time telling people about how he was abused as a child. Unless it's part of his kind of core personality.
He's got it tattooed on his face.
Something like that. Yeah. I wouldn't say that it was.
But okay, no, that's good. That's also good for us going forward, because we've got to do some more, and some of the questions that we got asked in the character bios, because we found them online. And so I modified them to suit us, and some of the questions that they ask you, we were just like, why does anyone need to know that?
It was like, are they right-handed or left-handed? And I suppose that's
right-handed. That's quite important.
Anyway, there were some stupid fucking questions.
Do they talk about a lisp or that? You're like, well, what's my
It was like, well, I don't know, you can't fucking hear him. So we got the script up online via Gumtree, and what was it about the script that when we gave you it?
I just got that bit of concept.
So what was it about the concept that appealed to you?
Obviously the fact that it was a comic.
It was two guys from Edinburgh that were doing a comic and needed an artist was the main bit.
Perfect.
Well, was that important? Was it important that it was local, or would you have went online?
I wouldn't have liked to have got into something like this with somebody who didn't get to meet face to face, certainly. And it was not like there's any kind of money up front or any kind of transaction thing. It's just all built on trust, isn't it? So I would have had to have met them face to face for a definite.
That's what we talked about before we actually put the adverts up and everything, because we had put it on forums and whatnot, and people from like Romania had got back to us saying, oh, just give us $4,000 and we will do comic for you.
That was the best response we ever got. It was a genuine response as well. It was like, give us 4,000 euros, and we were like, nah, not happening, mate. And then he went, of course not, no one's got this kind of money. 2,000. We're like, dude,
no, you'd, I mean,
calm your shit.
Obviously, you know how to bargain, but you don't know how to bargain. Sorry, that was another thing for anybody listening. We went on a Gumtree and just looked for local people. Yeah. We were going to go through. We always wanted somebody who we could also meet face to face and have meetings with every now and again, and just see how everything's getting on, see how everything's progressing, if there's any questions. It's easy enough to speak to each other, and easy enough to do these things face to face, and get ideas flowing.
Yeah, that's the three of you, or between the two, something down and think it's all hunky dory, but in our panel descriptions it could be coming back and be like, that can't be drawn. You can't physically draw that on one panel. So
yeah,
be part of the creative thing. The one thing I will say about this whole part, the Gumtree thing, was there was a severe lack of forums or places to go to try and get people local wise. Gumtree was about it. Was that Zwol yeah, forums, yeah. Like Zwol. Found that, but that's mostly America, Europe. Whereas if you try and find like one local, like a Scotland or a UK based one,
I
couldn't find it.
It's not there.
Yeah. There's a wee gap in the market.
Aye, there you go. Again, if you are going to look for artists online, then we had an experience with a girl from California, again, where she said she could do it, and then she didn't speak to us for two weeks, and then got back to us saying she was too busy to do it.
Aye, so, and then goes, I'll do it at a slower pace than what you thought originally agreed, and then she said, what was it? Oh, I thought I replied to you. Like, no, you didn't. Can you apply now? And she's like, oh, I thought I already had replied to you the second time. Like, nah, this is not going to work.
Why don't you just give us the reply that you thought you'd sent us?
Aye, just say no. Just say no, I don't want to do it. Exactly. Thing is, as well, that's the thing about my whole cashish. We're looking at that as well, but if you're going to get somebody from far away and go, oh, I'll give you the money up front, then you're never going to see.
Well, you're putting a lot of trust into somebody else that you've never met before. I mean, why it's.
There might be folk there that are willing to do it and will genuinely give you the artwork and whatever.
Well, that's it. But,
well, thanks.
Yeah.
That wasn't it. Yeah. That's maybe half up front, half later.
Well, that's what we were saying. If we were going to do it, like if you're going to do like a whole issue, if you would say it was like 12 pages, we'd give you half after 6 pages and then half after 12 pages. That makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah. Giving anybody money up front was a bit dodgy because.
Especially all of it. Jesus.
Aye.
So leading on from your wish to do a comic and be involved in comics, now that you have like almost completed an entire one, do you view art and comics differently now? Are you more appreciative? Do you cast a more critical eye on stuff now that you're taking part in it?
Yeah, I definitely am more appreciative of the artwork. Because I understand how long it takes, and I'm not even at the same level as a proper professional guy who's doing it, day in day out as a normal job. But these guys are mega talented, and other artists. I'm no knocking artists who draw landscapes and paint houses and stuff like that, or portraits or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's completely different. Like if you're a portrait artist and you try and draw a comic, you're going to find it really difficult. Like it's so hard.
Yeah.
So I totally do. But when I read comics now, I'm like, oh man, if it's a good artist, I'm like, oh, this guy's great. And if it's a bad artist now, I'm like, that's rubbish. I don't want to read that anymore.
Does it
put you off, like, completely?
If
the story's amazing.
If the story's amazing, I'll probably get through it. But it can be off-putting if you're like, oh man.
I wanted to ask about that. Like, so if you read a comic, we'd say it has like New 52 style art, but the story is garbage, like Suicide Squad.
Oh. I'd contest. Oh, I'll go for Green Arrow. Green Arrow.
Green Arrow.
You read it?
Anyway. I've not read the first three volumes.
The ones that I bought and found out it was shite. Right, that's right.
But the volumes after that are shit hot.
I've read that.
Is it frustrating that you see somebody who's got so much talent put work into a shitty story, and then you see, I mean, by contrast, people who are like they're completely minimalist, but the story's amazing. Is it frustrating?
The only time I find it frustrating is when I see something that's really minimalist and it gets praised and lauded.
Aye.
They're like, oh, this art is amazing, or this artist is amazing, this book's amazing, and I'm just like looking at panels going, there's no backgrounds in that entire page, there's no backgrounds in the second page, or, I just kind of, I can pick up little bits, shadowing's not consistent, stuff like that.
Nah.
It's just a bit, just getting a bit dickish, isn't it, really?
Well, you just get no, a bit it's, dickish, it's paying attention to your craft.
It's quite interesting, because like, obviously I'm not an artist, but from a reading point of view, sometimes I can look at some of the art and be like, I don't really like that. It's like if you play a game that has bad graphics, it puts me off.
Mm.
Yeah,
I can be like, nah, I can't get it. The story could be great, but fuck it.
Yeah,
it's got to suck you in.
Yes, it's definitely got to suck me in.
Right, have you any media that we can plug for you? Just now, your DeviantArt page, you got Twitter, MySpace, something like that.
No, yes, I have DeviantArt. It's Tommy Cree, all one word, DeviantArt. So that's about it, really.
Good.
Get on there, everybody, and have a wee look.
We'll make you a MySpace.
Do you know that still exists?
Does it?
It still exists.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So does, what's the other one that was shite?
Bebo.
That's the one.
There you go. And on that note, shall we get a ding?
Yeah, ding. Get a ding.
Right. So we are at our debate now.
Dun, dun,
our
dun.
Debate. That's it. I mean,
tense man. They get tense.
You made it really tense there. So obviously we've got three of us here this week, this podcast. So there's going to be a little bit of a slant on it. We have got a sort of a witches worse debate going on here, and we're talking Marvel or DC characters specifically. Well, I don't know, it's not specific. It's not specific to heroes or villains. It's just characters. So Greg and Tommy are going to be arguing about basically which ones have worse, and they've chosen three each. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them a chance to plead their case, and then at the end of it, I'm going to say who's won the debate, basically.
Okay. I reckon it's going to be a debate that everyone wins.
Well, exactly.
Unless someone says, like, Batman. You're like, nah, thank you.
Yeah, I think you're right. Although I've got Batman and I'll have to change that now.
Right. Just think of something else. Okay, so, Tommy, would you like to enter the fray first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I shall.
I've got Marvel characters. The first one I decided to go with is just a hatred that I've always had for this particular character. He's a Spider-Man villain, and it's the Vulture.
The Vulture. All right. Okay.
I really like the Vulture.
I hate the Vulture. He's old. He's decrepit. He wears a green suit with wings on it, and he flies around. And he's not menacing. He's not threatening. He's not dangerous. A few of the Spider-Man characters are a bit zany and a bit like that anyway, but it's just something about this guy. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but they came out with a new Vulture a few years ago. It wasn't like the same guy kind of reappropriated or anything like that. They came out with a brand new Vulture. He was younger. He was dangerous. He was cool.
The opposite, basically.
He ate people. That's what made him cool. But that was pretty much all they had to do to him.
Was make him eat folk.
For me, that's where I'm...
Whereas what's been shoveled down our throats is some dude in a green suit that can fly. How can he fly? Is it just because he's got wings?
Someone to do with his back. I think he's got someone in his suit in his back that helps him fly.
Would that be wings?
That's why.
No, the wings aren't even, like, it doesn't flap them. Like, it's some kind of gravity thing that he's got in his back. I don't think it helps him do it.
Right, okay. Well, the Vulture then, do you know what? Your pure contempt there for the Vulture has me won over so far, but Greg, you're going to storm in there with a DC character, aren't you?
Yep, DC character, and it's not particularly one that anyone will be like, oh, that's shite, which is what I don't like. It's a character called Vibe.
Vibe?
DC.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Vibe, yeah. I only really found out about him when he got introduced in the New 52, and I figured that somebody so shit they wouldn't bring back, but they did. He was essentially created to... He was created in the 70s or 80s when breakdancing was really big. So he basically was created as a breakdancer. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so, no, there's no way that all he can do is breakdance.
No, he has a power. He can... I can't even know what it is. His power is... It's one of those powers.
He can win over the judges contests.
It's something to do with... He can, like... He shoots a hand. I can't... I've read... He was in them...
He wore sunglasses.
He wore sunglasses. They wore a red scarf.
Right.
He was introduced into, I think it was Justice League of America in 52. He's actually getting his own series as well coming forward. But
Vibe.
This
break dancer that can shoot things.
Tell you how bad he was. Apparently, I can't remember what writer it was, but there was some sort of like anniversary thing for DC where there was a story that contained every character, or pretty much every character. And the writer hated him that much that Vibe's appearance in it was just his ankles falling off the panel. Because he's just a shit character.
Well, you've argued well for that as well. And based on my scoring system of uselessness, comedy value, chances of being used now, someone actually got paid for writing that, and is he as good/bad as the Condiment King, who was a Batman villain that was... It was absolutely amazing. Look him up if you're reading this. Just if
thing
you're
is, man,
just
if
now,
you if you were
terrible.
If you were at a hot dog stand,
aye, exactly.
Condiment King, save me!
Condiment King would come in and like,
he's a villain, and he'd be like, "What do you want What do you want in your hot dog?" And you'd be like, "Oh, thank God you're here. Tata ketchup, please. He put mustard on it."
And he would just laugh.
Yeah, it wouldn't be poisonous mustard.
It'd just be mustard.
It gives you, and you're like, "Ah, I like that as well. Thanks, man."
Curses! You don't like it as much as ketchup, though.
You got away with it this time, but I'll get you.
I'll get you next time when you go to the burger van. You bastard!
Based on that scoring system, Vibe won out.
Oh, really?
Vibe won out by 20 points to 17. They're all. It's 1-5.
It's off point.
I just 1-5.
This is like room 101.
Yeah. Well, Vibe's won out, so Greg's one up. So Tony, you've got some work to do to claw this back for the second one. So your second terrible Marvel character. Marvel character, you just didn't like.
I just didn't like him, but he is terrible as well. his name's Leapfrog.
Leapfrog, right, okay.
He was I don't know if it was 70s or 80s, but he was a super villain who had no superpowers, really. He wore a suit that's like, makes him look like a giant anthropomorphic frog.
Good work.
Like, if you can think it, like, frog. The way the turtles looked in the original Turtles film, he looks like that. And he jumps about with the use of these giant springs, and they were like 6-inch springs under his flipper feet. That he'd use to like bounce around and like get the, you know, get the best of the hero by jumping over his head and be appeared behind him.
Surely has like kryptonite, if you like, it's like rust.
And the mouth of the frog suit that he wore is where he looked out, so you could see his face the whole time.
So he was basically like some sort of like Disney character on acid.
That's basically Magic Kingdom. What it was. He'd try to like steal money and stuff. Boom, bounce along the road.
Nice. He sounds absolutely fucking terrible.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't
actually see his face. He sounds pretty awful.
Yeah.
I mean, uselessness. He can just jump about. That's pretty much it. Someone actually got paid for writing that. Congratulations to them. You've got it in a comic. Comedy.
Speaks for itself, really.
Yeah, exactly. Chances of getting used now, I'd probably say they're pretty slim unless they revitalized them as some sort of ridiculous thing like Vulture.
Mm.
But
just completely rewrote him essentially and give him a new name. Give him the same name, sorry.
Aye. So I'm going to give nothing for that because I don't think he's going to get used. And is he as good as the Quantum King? I'm still looking for someone to score over 1 point for this. So you've got all to do here, Greg.
Okay, right.
You've got all to do.
Again, flying the flag for DC. My second character is Matter Eater Lad.
Matter Eater Lad.
Yeah. I looked him up and apparently, I'll be honest, I haven't actually read any of his stuff because I wasn't born in like the 50s and I don't really have a desire to go back and read any of his stuff. But yeah, he essentially, his ability is that he can just eat stuff. He can eat matter. So if you were stuck in a car or maybe locked in your house, he can eat the door. That's it. He wore this ridiculous like green and yellow costume as well. It looked like some sort of like clown, but he had like really nice windswept hair, like a choir boy. But yeah, that's all he done. It's just it stuff. That's all he does.
That's amazing. So stupid.
I think the picture, if you look him up, the main sort of famous picture of him is him like slowly eating a chain link fence. Do you know what him? I mean, he'll get you out. He'll get you out of a chain link fence. That'll take him like days.
Take him a moment,
like. He's got to digest the old chain link fence and everything. That's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, uselessness. To be honest with you, he has. I can't imagine him being quite useful in that situation. I mean, if you can eat him out, if he can eat his way out of a house.
I mean, you can make money out of that. Funny. He could keep going like Britain's Got Talent and like eat a bike or something.
But uselessness, he's pretty useless.
Aye, he is. Not someone quite useless as Leapfrog.
I know. Someone actually got paid for that. Fair enough. Fair play to them as well. Fair play to them as well. Comedy value, absolutely. I'd love to see someone just eating a chain link fence. It'd be amazing. And chances of getting used now, both of them fucking slim. Let's face it, slim to none. I'm not as good as Condiment King. I've had to say that neither of them are.
Really?
Neither of them.
Condiment King is pretty useful though.
He is. He's pretty awesome. So at the end of that one, at the end of that round, he's going on to 1-1.
Oh.
1-1. Leapfrog wins out.
No, I'm for being
terrible.
Pressure.
So we've got our last round now. The clincher. And we'll start off again. In fact, I'll tell you what, we'll start off Greg this time. Give him a chance to argue this corner first.
Okay.
You've got all to do in the second.
Again, DC. This is quite a good one. I quite like this guy. Arm fall off boy.
Right. Immediately I'm going for uselessness, a score of 5. There we go.
He essentially has one ability, and that ability is he can detach his arms and use, say, he can detach his left arm and use it as a club to hit folk with his right arm, if you like. If he detached both his arms, he'd be pretty fucked. But yeah, that's it. That's all he does, is he detaches his arms and can hit folk with them.
Right.
And he looks like a shit He-Man as well.
Why even make him look like He-Man? Like, just if it like his dude's his arm has fallen off. That's the worst idea ever. So, for someone actually getting paid for doing that, congratulations to them again.
I feel like I didn't actually justify why he's so bad, but I think he speaks for himself.
I think even just the name.
The name.
I like that. Like, yeah, imagine the colour of the name. I've got this really good character. Well, I say good. I've got this character, which we call Arm Fall Off Boy.
I don't know, I reckon that must have been somebody, some guys at a pub or something.
It's a bit tongue-in-cheek.
The thing is, sober, presumably.
I would love to be alive in like the 60s though, because you can make it in comic books easily. You just get absolutely off your tits on drugs, write some stuff and send it in.
Oh man, Arm Fall Off Boy, man.
Arm Fall Off Boy.
It'd be too easy. Like, Elephant Drum Man. What do you do? Just an elephant that plays drums. There you go.
Who's also half man.
That's half man as well. So if ever you're in a safari park and you're that drummer short of having a band, he'll come and play for you. Arm Fall Off Boy. Awful. Tommy.
Okay, this one is a character called the Whizzer.
Yeah.
Did you?
I've seen the Whizzer.
Go and tell me he just pees. The Whizzer.
Well, no. That's what his name certainly sounds like. He just goes around like relieving himself all the time. But that's not actually why he's so bad, even though his name is pretty bad.
Right.
He's from the 40s. Oh. His costume is hideous. He's got a giant W on the front of it, so you know he's the Whizzer. You know who you're dealing with when he turns up on the scene.
He may as well have his name just written.
Does he have a mask? Tell me, he doesn't have a mask.
It does not have a mask. What it has is a helmet type thing that's meant to kind of be a nod to Hermes, because it's got wings coming off the side of it.
Right, okay.
But it just looks, they put some kind of little head thing on the front of it as well, and it just looks terrible.
Nice.
He's a speedster, so that's his superpower. But it's how he got his superpowers that was the most ridiculous thing that had ever happened. He went into the jungle with some guy. He got bitten by a cobra. So the guy that he was with to save his life gave him a blood transfusion with a mongoose.
What?
Who are known to be quite fast animals. And that's how he like obtained the speed of a mongoose and became the Whizzer.
See, the thing is, I seen him, I looked him up, and he just looks like a really, really poor man's Flash.
Yeah, he's really poor man's Flash, totally.
Ah, but he's got mongoose blood in him, so I don't know if the Flash has got that, you know.
It was in the 40s, like, it was somebody scraping the bottom of the idea bucket.
Man, we should go to DC Marvel and ask if we can use all six of these characters.
Just have, like, a new squad of characters. So our characters are going to be the Vulture, the Vibe, Leapfrog, Matter Eater Lad, the Whizzer, and Arm Fall Off Boy. It's going to be the shortest film ever.
You can't use the Whizzer, man. You should just go with Mongoose. Man.
Like just Mongoose. Mongoose blood transfusion, man. There you go.
Excuse me.
Right, well, to be honest, at the end of that, I think the Whizzer and Arm Fall Off Boy are both as shite as each other. Let's face it. So I'm going to call that a draw. And who wins in that case? Everybody wins. Everybody wins. And if anybody...
Apart from the creators of those characters who, if they're listening and they're not dead...
You should be. So everybody wins. Everybody wins. And if you wish to agree or disagree, get in touch.
Get a ding.
Right, okay, so we're going to have our podcastly feature now of reading, watching, playing. It's going to work this week, or this podcast as well, because we can actually get someone doing reading, watching and playing. So, Tommy should do all three of them. Ah, exactly, Tommy. You've got a lot to do. Right, so what we're going to do is, Greg's going to do playing.
Yes.
Tommy is going to do reading because he's got a wealth of knowledge, and I was actually going to do watching, but I didn't go and see a film last night like I was supposed to. So
he's not committed, Tommy.
He has not done his research.
He had to basically go and sit on his arse for an hour and a half and watch something.
I just sat in my house instead, watching Transcendence.
Are you going to watch something?
Well, exactly. So I'm going to do Transcendence. It's going to be really short because I thought it was shite. Transcendence, a sci-fi film where Johnny Depp's in it and he gets into computers and then he dies and then...
Is it like Steve Jobs? You've just described Steve Jobs there. Gets into computers and then dies.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, by getting into computers, he assimilates himself to computers and he sort of becomes a superhero, like a superhuman computer, and then he begins to be able to replicate himself and blah, blah, blah. I thought it was shite. So we'll just talk about, Ryan Reynolds being Deadpool instead. to be honest with you, I've seen a bit of the test footage for Deadpool, and I'm pretty sure it was Ryan Reynolds. There was test footage for Ant-Man, so they do like a scene, but it's stripped down. They just see how
He reacts as Deadpool? Just see how it all looks?
The dialogue. It's got scripted dialogue and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I think he suits it, to be honest with you. Yeah, he'll be much better than he was in Wolverine Origins, I'm sure, because that would pitch as well.
I don't know if it's so much his fault. I think that was a great film overall, to be honest. The scene where Wolverine and what's his pass, his brother, like fighting on top of the big power plant, just looked
Sabretooth
awful. Aye, it looks like they made it with Lego or something. It just didn't look right at all.
I know. Yeah, to be honest, I liked Liev Schreiber in that as well as Sabretooth. I thought he was pretty cool. He's a scary motherfucker.
It was all right. It wasn't tall enough. It was shorter than Hugh Jackman.
You should watch any Tom Cruise movie.
Was he shorter than Hugh Jackman in it?
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Pretty sure.
We're going to pause the podcast just now while we watch it. Yes, that's fine. I think he'll do absolutely fine. I think if he stays away from everything else and just cements himself as Deadpool, then
he's not going to come back as Green Lantern.
Imagine if he did. That'd be... It doesn't bear talking about.
No.
That's what I think. So we'll move on swiftly from our one because I've been hideously unprofessional about it. who wants to go next? Shall we do a wee playing or a bit of reading?
I'll go. So, Tommy's looking away.
Still just shy.
Well, playing. I have got up to speed with modern technology and been playing the SNES.
Fantastic.
I'll be honest, I kind of wasn't quite as bad as you, but I did say, I'll do Cannon Fodder, which is a great game. I'll do that for the playing, and I hadn't actually played it until a couple of days ago.
You actually did it, though, so that's fine.
Oh, I did that. I did. The thing is, the first thing that struck me about Cannon Fodder when I put on the SNES is how gaming back then was so unforgiving. Like, level 3, I was like, fucking hell! Fucking hell! Basically, it's just, if you don't know what the game is, it's like basically a sort of strategic... Can you say that? You just blow shit up. Really?
Well, it is, though. It's point and click.
No, it is. It's point and click on a console, which is kind of works, but not really.
I remember playing it. I remember always thinking that the controls were really weird for it.
The controls are mental for it. Like, they literally have three things. Move, shoot, weapon. And they've got four buttons. Right? So you would naturally think that each button does something different, but it doesn't. It's like one of the buttons moves, one of the buttons shoots, and then if you press both those buttons together, it's weapon.
That's shocking. There's no fourth option.
you can change the buttons and whatever, but it's just I didn't figure that out. And there's no tutorial on that. Like, it's just like boom, get in there.
Getting out of there, just well, like in real war.
Like in war, that's it. Yeah. But
what is the game?
It's very unforgiving, like real war as well.
There you go.
So really, what you're saying is, Cannon Fodder back in the day was actually ahead of its time because it was truly representative of what happens in the real world.
Until you play it. Kind of the thing is, though, man, it's a good game. It's really fun. One thing it did sort of strike me about it was, like I say, the lack of instruction, if you like. It basically comes up and says, you have four guys, you have to go and kill these buildings, kill these guys. It doesn't tell you how to kill the buildings, like you got machine guns. So you go up the buildings, such as machine guns. Nah, it's not you there. You have to use grenades. I was like, fair enough. Try and sell grenades, you've got none. You have to find them. And then, I didn't know this, because there was a little crate sitting in the middle of the game, so I shot it. Purely because the graphics of it, it didn't look like a crate. It just looked like I just shoot anything that's not my guys, because it's just all big pixels. but it turned out to be grenades, and I blew them up. And when you blow them up, you then get them back, so that should fulfill the mission. But it doesn't tell you that.
So when you just play for just like an hour.
It just lets you carry on while enemies just continue to respawn, so you're just killing things for ages.
Unforgiven. Again.
That's it, Unforgiven. So I had to surrender. But I'll tell you something that is quite good about it, and it's kind of ahead of its time, is the fact that like it's quite deep, and it got in trouble for this department when it came out, but it's quite deep in the sense that you see your recruits like walking along in front of this big hill before the game starts, and you see a wee queue of guys like getting called up for the army.
Aye, you remember they're all just sort of like they're running along the bottom of the screen to get in a line to. Aye. Is there like a little booth?
There's a little booth on the left hand side, and a wee guy sort of like making them sign in or whatever. Aye. And there's like 500 guys overall for the whole game. And every time like you get a guy, I'll give you a green name for a guy. For example, I had a guy called Ubik. He was a man. I got him killed though.
Rest in peace, Ubik.
Yeah, but Ubik. But but when he dies, when you go to the next mission, when you die, there's a wee gravestone appears. Like every single person that dies, wee gravestones appear in the background. So it's kind of like all these people, these new four coming in, it's showing you the actual death toll, and it's quite kind of, I wouldn't say it's moving, because it's like 2D graphics, but at the same time I thought, you didn't get that in like Mario, or like Sonic, or anything like that.
Aye, but that is quite like, there's a lot of thought that's gone into that, obviously, because you're sitting looking at it, and thinking, I've let tons of my guys die. I think it's. Do you think it's maybe that they wanted to make people feel remorse for letting people die, like higher ups would in the army, where they would maybe go home after a tour or something and just sit with a bottle of whiskey and think, "What the fuck have I done to various lives?"
I don't know, but it kind of works. I don't think it can have the same effect on me because I had a guy called Tadger, so he randomly came through. Like the guys are called like Tadger and that. Like if I'm walking about, you get like Chris, Bob, and Tadger. So chicken about
Tadger.
If Chris dies. So no great loss. If Tadger dies.
Oh well.
Man.
That's a stiff blow.
Oh, that's it. But I was getting quite annoyed at myself for letting folk die. The thing is, you could well, no power of people dying. Because you just randomly walk along and just someone of your guys forced indeed. You're like, what the fuck's happening? But yeah, it's good. Thing is, man, it's 72 levels for a game. 72 levels.
What's the kind of rough 5 minutes, 10 minutes a level?
Some levels are like really, really short and simple, but are really difficult. That makes sense. The concept's really simple, but fuck, there's a mission. I remember it from my childhood. I've not got to it yet playing it, but I remember it from when I was wee, and it's like ice.
Oh my god,
ice! And it's got a lake flashbacks in the middle.
Yeah.
And you basically get a little jeep, and you have to like there's like all these turrets and tanks and houses that round outside of the map, and you've got to basically just keep driving round and round and round while they all shoot each other, essentially. If you go into the middle, if you go to the war, you die instantly and all that sort of stuff. But it's so difficult. But it's easy. I mean, it looks easy. So difficult as a game. But 72 levels, and apparently as well, like 92% was the lowest score it got when it came out back in the day. That's so like...
stands the test of time then, obviously. If you can buy it, like, when did it come out?
93.
So what, like 22 years later?
Yeah.
It's still holding up to the test of time. That's what you look for.
22 years. Cannon Fodder 2 and 3 are both out as well.
What?
Cannon Fodder 2 and 3. Really? I looked it up. Cannon Fodder 2 and 3 came out on PC.
Oh.
Cannon Fodder 3 got absolutely slayed.
Oh dear.
What and Cannon Fodder 2 was middle ground. I played loads of games like that when you look back in the day. There's loads of games that got sequels. Street Fighter.
Street Fighter's still going.
Streets of Rage, Streets of Rage 3. You ever play that?
Oh my god, that was
I've played all of them.
1 and 2, pretty good. 3, pretty bad. Golden Axe 3. Shit.
Double Dragon 3.
Double Dragon.
You ever played Double Dragon 3?
Yeah, I completed it in a day when I got to the Master System.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever got past the first level of it. Right, well, that's my pretty chat on. I thought it was like the hardest game ever.
I just got it like last year or something.
Like, Double Dragon.
No, I'm only joking. I got it when I was, when it was me.
I'm only joking, I never played it.
Word about just as well. That's amazing because you only got one life on that and I just thought it was the worst idea ever for a game. Are you thinking Double Dragon 2?
Nah, I'm pretty sure it was number 3.
Where you get 4 characters?
Oh, no. It might have been number 2 then.
That's good to say.
You're okay, man. Your language intact.
Okay. Well, on that note, so you'd recommend getting a SNES and Cannon Fodder, and it'd cost you what? Like 40 quid tops?
Less than.
Ah, there you go. Free advertising for Super Nintendo.
I'm Nintendo leader because they're struggling.
Yeah, they probably do actually.
Super who?
Right, we'll move on to Tommy now. So you've a few minutes left to talk about what you're reading at the moment.
I've read and I've finished an omnibus I got for Christmas there.
Alright.
It's called Sleeper. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's written by a guy called Ed Brubaker. And it arts by a guy, Sean Phillips. It came out in the early 2000s, and it's set in the Wildstorm universe, which was Jim Lee's imprint off of from Image Comics.
Oh,
it later gets folded into the DC New 52.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Aye.
So it's got some characters in it, like Grifter pops up in it, and the Authority kind of pop up in it, but it's mainly about this guy who's a double agent who gets inserted into a super villain organisation.
Soon you said it's out in my head, I said Ennis.
He infiltrates a supervillain organisation, and it's just it's like an espionage spy thriller, but it's just got this twist on it and slant on it that it's supervillains and superheroes, but it's really grimy and gritty and stuff like that. It's really, really
so
cool.
Was it originally wrote like a sort of original piece, like a standalone piece, and then it got incorporated in DC, or was it part of DC going forward?
It was part of Wildstorm, so now the characters are incorporated into the DC universe, but I've never seen them pop up since this kind of bit. It was two seasons they done it for, two 12 issue miniseries.
Oh, right. Is that what they refer to the comics as well, when they do like successive runs of them as seasons?
They do in this one. Oh, right. Which I thought was quite interesting.
That's
but I've never seen them get
on the back of that, the word season, like, just takes over everything now. It's like, oh yeah,
that's a bit now, isn't it?
It's like, remember that TV series? No, I remember a season.
That TV season. Yeah. Do you remember that TV season?
Fucking Americans.
Again, yeah. Sorry for all the Americans.
Yeah, but well, basically, without giving too much away, it's like this guy infiltrates criminal organisation. His contact on the other side, the connection's cut, and he's kind of left like in the criminal organisation undercover. You know how it's like all those undercover films have always got that plot line running through it where the person who's undercover starts relating to the people who are meant to be the enemy and stuff like that, and the morality they bring.
Maybe they start, you're not to question, so bad after
all. That's black.
It's like the question of morality and stuff like that. That stuff happens. But it's really, really, really cool. And it's all in like one big, massive book that's the whole story's in it.
Oh, like a proper sort of like, almost like a coffee table book.
Yeah, it's oversized, like, a wee bit bigger than the normal kind of graphic novels. And it's
See, that annoying me, man. Have it on your shelf and it sticks up.
Oh,
I have to file it down.
File it down, give it a couple of panels at the top. Oh, cool.
But yeah, it's really cool. The team that do it, like, they still make comics now, Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, and they signed like a five project deal with Image Comics, which nobody had kind of done before. And their first project's out now. It's called The Fade Out, and it's quite cool as well. But they've done loads of other stuff together. They've done loads. They're brilliant.
So what kind of, like, who would you recommend it for fans of superheroes?
Fans of the spy genre, of thrillers even, it would totally work for them. It's got supervillains and superheroes in it, but they're not really, that's just the kind of backdrop for the spy story, you know what I mean?
Is that because nowadays, like, everyone's about that? It's just to sort of relate to superheroes now. Everyone's about superheroes, isn't it?
Apart from the sleeper.
Oh, he just said it's got superheroes in it. You were listening. Yeah.
But it's like, it's 10 years old. Anyway, like, the series is 10 years old. But it just got this massive reprint in the book, the big omnibus book.
Cool. So, recommend it, aye?
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended.
Me. Sweet.
By Mr. Tommy Cree. You could say, by me, Tommy Cree.
That could be my tagline. I can see it on the billboards and then.
Right, let's ding this out.
Get a ding.
Right, sit down, stop what you're doing, it's fucking quiz time. Right, it's quiz time. 10 questions. I have all the answers and questions here. Rule number one, what I say goes. Right?
Okay.
Then you'll get back at me. Rule number two, don't shut the fuck up. That's the minus point. Right? So, point system, mine. Don't argue with that either.
Okay.
All those points. Right? Buzzer. Richard, you got a buzzer? Let's hear it. Tommy? Right, good. Let's cut shit. Question one.
Right, question one. Let's go, huh?
Butter, fucking. This one's a proper question. They're all proper questions.
Right, okay.
This is for Richard's speciality. Say fantasy. Well, how many members made up the Fellowship of the Ring?
I don't fucking care.
None of yous?
Seven. No, wait. Seven.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's my point. Right. Points to me for that. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Question two. Name 2 days of the week that start with the letter T.
Today and tomorrow.
Fucking perfect. There you go. That's 2 points. 2 points for Tommy. Today and tomorrow. Right.
Would you have got points for Tuesday and Thursday? Or?
No, it's not about right now. Question three. Right, maths. True or false?
False.
It's true. Minus a point.
I'm doing terrible here. Oh, no.
Can't wait, it's a logic. Question 4. This is a proper question as well.
Right.
What Sonic game first introduced Tails? Go, Tommy.
Sonic 2.
Oh, yes, Sonic 2.
I knew that.
Yeah, we point for that, but you're getting a hammer.
I know, right.
Question 5. According to IMDb, how many on-screen deaths has Sean Bean had? Tommy.
11.
I think I point at you for that. It's terrible.
Right, okay. Right.
Richard, do you want a chance?
I do. On screen deaths, I think he has had 6.
Take that point.
Oh, come on.
The answer is 22.
What? What the hell? You were halfway there.
Yeah, I know. I was going to give. I'll give you half a point then, Tommy. I'll just minus you half a point. Right. This is going well. I like it. Right, cool. Question 6. My Lovely Horse is a famous song from which TV show?
Father Ted. Yes, I get a point.
That's your minus 3.
Yes.
Good.
Clawing it back.
Okay, question 7. Would you rather that you lay naked and I washed you all over with a sponge? Or I lay naked and you washed me all over with a sponge?
I'd prefer to be washed.
That's the correct answer. Well done, Tommy.
Are we just going to breeze past that? Or does there need to be an explanation?
Well, you can ask why.
Why would you like that, Tommy?
It's nice to be clean, isn't it?
That's a good enough. Fair enough.
We'll go with that. Cool. Question 8. What 2 words, when combined, hold the most amount of letters?
I get the feeling this is one that have you actually got an actual answer for this?
I've got an answer for this, yeah. Do you want me? You can come back to it if you want. Come back, use some thinking time.
Aye, go on.
Right, some thinking time. Okay, so according to the well-known phrase, eating a Mars a day helps you work, rest and...
Play. Oh, fuck.
I think it's play.
Damn it.
You're wrong, it's minus a point. The answer is put on weight.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay. It's a fine dining question.
Fine dining question,
right?
Fine dining.
So, fine dining. In Haribo, what are the 6 what are the 6 flavours of gummy bears? Alright, this blew my mind. I didn't get this. Go for it. If you get all 6 of them, I'll give you loads of points.
Strawberry.
Yes.
Lemon.
Yes.
Lime.
No.
Watermelon.
No.
Grape.
Nah, you're getting missed. Minus a point for that. Tommy, do you want to?
Nah, not really. I'll be honest.
I don't know
the strategic. 6 of the gummy bears.
Not even.
I think you should get points taken.
Nah, aye, minus a point for that. It's not even trying. Right, okay.
What's incidentally, what are the flavours?
Oh, right, they can. Strawberry, pineapple, orange, lemon, apple, and raspberry. Ah, they all taste the same to me.
Yeah,
I like them a pack of times.
There you go.
Okay, aye. According to Rotten Tomatoes, what is the worst superhero film ever made? Give you a clue, it's actually 2 of them that are joint.
Oh, they're... Alright, okay.
Tommy, you better get
this right. Toxic Avenger.
That's a point for that. Richard?
Don't know. I will take Green Lantern and Batman Forever.
No. Take that point off you.
Oh.
It's Catwoman.
Oh, my God, yeah. Terrible. Well, it's a good thing that we both forgot about that, to be honest.
And Elektra.
Oh, dear.
That was pretty bad, yeah.
Yep. Next question, Simpsons.
Oh.
What is Sideshow Bob's brother called? Are you buzzing?
Sideshow Bob's rubber, brother. Is Sideshow Bob's brother is called Sideshow Cecil.
Well done.
Voiced by David Hyde Pierce, brother of on-screen Fraser.
Niall Crane.
Niall Crane, that's the one.
Well done, Rich. I'll give you a point for that.
Dick.
I'm going back because I'm running out of questions, so I'm going to go back to the one. What are the two words combined to hold the most letters? Tommy?
Supercalifragilistic, I can't say it. But that one from Mary Poppins. And the same word again.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and xylophone.
The correct, these are both close, but the correct answer, which two words when combined hold the most letters, the correct answer is post office holds the most letters.
Oh my goodness. That is a Christmas cracker joke.
Oh my god.
I like how we came back to that one.
I know, yeah. It end with a flourish. Where did you get these questions from? Because I love them.
I can't see. Alright, okay, wait. And the last question. The last question is a tiebreaker.
So is it actually a tiebreaker?
No. It's a
point for me to go get a point.
I figured I'd keep this question to the last so I could see who was closest. If you were actually.
Right, okay.
Okay. It's a comic book question. According to the wiki page, how many deaths has there been in the Walking Dead season so far? Walking Dead comic series, how many deaths have been?
In the comic series?
142.
What's your guess, Tommy? Closest gets it?
202.
Nah. 123, apparently. 123 deaths.
Oh,
yeah. So that's a point to Richard. So.
This isn't that. Right, okay.
End of that, I need to add this up. So. Oh, shit, I should never take points off. It's going to make it so difficult. Four.
Remember, when you add two negatives together, it makes a positive.
Shut up. I'm trying to count. Five. Tommy? 1.5.
Thank you.
That's not a bad score, considering.
Considering my score.
Considering Richard's. 1, 2, 3. -3? -3's not bad.
Respectable, I would say.
Yeah, second place, man.
Respectable.
Second place. Cool. And what's that?
Yeah, this is a good feature. I'm a big fan of this feature. If you are and you're listening, let us know. And we might do it again sometime.
Chris questions from us. That's it.
I don't know if we could do. Can we do questions of that caliber every single week?
What do you mean, show-stopping questions?
Show-stopping, yeah, exactly. Right.
So we're gonna ding us out.
Cool. That's us done for another week. Thanks very much to Tommy, our guest. Have you enjoyed yourself, Tommy?
I have. Thank you very much for having me on. It's been brilliant.
You're very welcome. You can come back anytime you want, or anytime we contact you to tell you we need another person.
I will call you.
So. Okay. If you want to give us a shout, we are at The Desert Wales on Twitter. We are at The Desert Wales on Instagram, and you can email us on thedesertwales@gmail.com. Thank you very much to Loot Crate, by the way, for retweeting a picture of my cat in a Loot Crate box. It's got us a wee bit of attention on Twitter. And if you're one of the few that's started following us or favourited that picture or retweeted it, thanks very much. And if you're one of probably the very few who listened to it on the back of just seeing a picture of a cat in a box, thank you very much for your commitment, and hopefully we've not scared you off by talking absolute garbage. That's us done. So cool. Have we got a sign off line for this week, or are we just going to fuck something up again?
No, I reckon we should get a sign off line. I reckon we should ask Tommy.
Tommy?
Oh shit.